You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're celebrating the release of our most recent book, and I'm so thrilled and excited to have the author on the line, Frances Harder, who is author and business consultant over at Fashion for Profit Consulting. Frances, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. Appreciate it.
So it's so much fun for me to do these. I feel like, publishing a book, no easy task, right? And as I, bring authors back onto the show to kind of talk about when we finally got the book live and out there and launched, it's always fun to reconnect. And I'm also excited to get into your other book launch. I mean, you are a busy, busy woman. So I understand you're in the 11th edition of the Fashion for Profit book. Maybe if you could hold that up there. I think you got one over there. There we go. So we have 11. Amazing. So we're definitely going to talk about this book as well. But you already know the drill, Frances. We'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Frances, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Frances, what mission matters to you?
Well, I always say that we're here to try to make a difference in some way. And as we are living and experiencing so much negativity in the world, to have good people trying to help other good people or trying to help people. And as an educator, I think that's what an educator or what I've always tried to do is also to educate people and help them to succeed and make a difference, hopefully.
Yeah. It's great. And great having you back on the show. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line to share, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn from that so that we can all grow together. So great to have you back. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, before we get into the book and before we get into some of the other content, I don't want to assume that all of our new listeners and audience maybe caught some of our previous work together. So maybe let's start with, just really how you got started in fashion.
Well, here we are in LA, but I was originally from Manchester in England, which used to be the textile center of the world. Cotton would go in there. Why was it Manchester? It was because it was damp, and the cotton needed to be spun and woven in that type of damp atmosphere. So my father was a textile chemist, and my mother was a fashion designer from Nottingham who worked for her brother, my uncle, and he had a factory in Nottingham. And her sister had a couture business in Nottingham. So you could say I sort of was born with it in my blood. And then I went on to study fashion design at Salford University and graduated. By the way, we have a visitor here. This is Tina. And so after going from college, I was invited to start designing where I've been interning, which again is something, a push that I try to explain to anybody. It's important if you can intern, because it will usually open up a job opportunity. So that's what happened with me. And then while I was working in this new job, the college where I graduated from asked me to go back and teach one day a week. And the boss from the company said, do it. He was like a mentor. So again, mentoring is also incredibly important to, I think, a young person's career advancements. And then from there, it was like a dual career of teaching and being a designer. And it's taken me from Manchester to London to Bristol to Munich, which that was the funniest experience as a fashion designer, as an out-of-work fashion designer at the Oktoberfest. And I was sitting next to one of the big bosses from Airbus. And as everybody was drinking and doing this, this guy turned to me and he said, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a designer. He said, we need designers. He said, can you start on Monday? He didn't really have kind of a designer. He assumed I was an aircraft designer. So I ended up as a technical drawer for for the engineers, which was they were doing it on big, in the big, you know, before the computers were coming out. So they would do it on a drawing board, and I would, and they would do it in pencil, and I would have to take a repeatograph and make them into ink. So that was a 4-year experience as a working on Airbus. But I always say, what's the difference between a sleeve and a wing? You know, you're doing a similar thing. So it was actually, it was a good job. And I took off with my husband now, and we traveled around the world for a year, got married in Sri Lanka, and ended up in America, in New York. He had a green card. He's German. And we drove through America and got to, it was funny because, you know, I enjoyed it. But once we got to California, I don't know what your experience was. It was like, okay, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And so we've lived here for quite some time, and we love where we live. And I've had amazing career opportunities being here in LA. And that, again, my first designing job was through somebody I knew who said they need designers. And that opened up another door. And while I was working there, his girlfriend had just graduated from FIDM, and she said, hey, they need teachers. So that's where I began teaching at FIDM and also working as a designer.
It's amazing to hear you tell this story, as I'm thinking about your story and how, you know, all of our stories kind of intertwine. Like you said, you're at Oktoberfest, and that led to a 4-year design job, right? At Airbus. And when I think about what you wrote about in your contribution to the book, so networking is your runway to a successful career. It makes sense. I mean, you could have written about a lot of different things, but like you lived it, right? Like networking is what kind of got you ahead, right?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. And from teaching, you know, I'll have to edit a little bit, but after being at FIDM, I was offered another position that lasted 2 years as a head of a department for a new college. And then I left because I got an opportunity to work at Otis as a associate professor there, which I really enjoyed that. And being there teaching at that college, university, other job opportunities opened up for me. And I was recommended to, that was where I got that recommendation to design for the Sultan of Brunei and go out there. And that was, you know, it's another book on its own, just that whole experience. And then being recommended for designing for Priscilla Presley, did 2 lines for her for home shopping. That was fabulous. She was really good to work with. We enjoyed doing that design work. So I had some really good, and then a Japanese company approached me and asked if I would design under my name for them in Tokyo. They had a store here. And so I was designing here and then working with them in Japan. So that was, you know, internationally, my whole career has been quite amazing. To be able to have these opportunities of traveling. And while I was at Otis, I realized that there wasn't enough business being taught. So I started writing a course for them on business development. And I started teaching that at night. And so that led me on to write the book. Mm. And that also met somebody who wanted to open an incubator. And then we started this incubator, Fashion Business Incubator, in 1999 at the Newmark, which is just down the road from you. And we were in there and got a grant from the Department of Water and Power to build out a 5,000 square foot facility. We had training and computer labs and state of the art. It was an amazing journey. And from that opened up other amazing opportunities, giving talks at different trade shows and speaking internationally in Australia, Hong Kong, China, Germany, France, Canada, Guatemala, Peru. I'm trying to think of all these other places. And I've been very fortunate to have had all these opportunities.
And so, Francis, there'll be some individuals that'll watch this that maybe want to pursue a career in fashion, or maybe they're even, you know, earlier on, and they may even still be, you know, going through their education piece of it, of design or otherwise. And they're looking to get in the fashion business. Maybe they don't quite know how. Like, what kind of things would you recommend they do maybe to get started and to get their feet wet?
Well, I would say, you know, start reading trade papers. So you understand what's going on within the industry, because it's changed so much from when I was at college. And we're looking at, when I worked, the whole industry has absolutely evolved into a different way. Mm-hmm. In a way, it's evolved that it's actually good for startup companies, because mm-hmm. new companies can be nimble and they can adjust to what the changes are. You know, their stores are now buying more often, smaller quantities. So for the big guys who are expecting to get, you know, the 20,000 unit orders, things have changed radically. So it has, I would say, for anybody entering the industry, it's still exciting, but find out the difference. You know, I have to say that a lot of colleges are still teaching the same way. This is one thing. I have a pet peeve about tenured teachers. I hope there's nobody going to get upset about this, but I think tenure is not good for education because it changes. Industries all change, and you need to have professors teaching you what's happening now, not what happened 20 years ago, and they have no incentive to change it. So curriculum changes should be really adopted every year to change. Yeah.
And would you say that there's, more opportunity, less, kind of the same? I know, like you mentioned, maybe, and you didn't use this word, but it's more, a little bit more fragmented. So maybe the orders won't be as big, but there's a lot of other smaller designers out there, at least I'm seeing on social media. I mean, do you think that there's more opportunity, less, about the same? Like, I'm interested from your vantage point, like how you see just the landscape overall.
I actually think that startups have an advantage. Yeah. At the moment, because they can be more nimble. And so, you know, they haven't got a big budget anyway. So they're planning on the business plan to produce smaller quantities. And as the stores, and also maybe you don't want to sell directly to the stores. You can open your online direct to the consumer if you've got the social media to push it, which of course is really key these days. But pop-up stores is another thing, you know, so that people can reach a target, that you can produce smaller quantities and grow grassroots, sort of grow up and expand your company.
I see a lot of opportunity out there when I just work with, because we've worked with some smaller brands in general, and fashion isn't necessarily our niche at Mission Matters for like marketing, I'd say. But I've seen it, and we're kind of all in the same mix. And like, we go to like Shopify events and other things like that where we have presence. And I just notice all these different brands, whether it's from, you know, handbags to clothes to like all these other things. And so it seems, especially the direct consumer market, like to me, there's just so much opportunity. But I feel like, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, like ultimately, if you want to continue to grow past even that phase, like having a presence, and which is one of the things that I've noticed in your career, like going to the trade shows and having the presence and like really networking within the industry and getting to know the industry, like that's still vital, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know yourself, you can't work within a vacuum without, you have to have contact. And the other big thing that should be mentioned really is sustainability. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to be aware of what sustainability encompasses because it's huge. And in our industry, you know, when I was working on these contracts with the United Nations, and I was working with Egyptians, helping them understand what they need to think about when entering the American market. And the first thing I would say is start thinking sustainable. Now, we've got hang tags of those plastic things on them that's going to end up in some fish's gulls, you know. So it's important to just begin somewhere to try to be sustainable. And thinking of what it is that you can do to contribute to making your product much more sustainable in there's so many parts to it, even from producing domestically, you know, that you're not having those huge containers being shipped over. So nearshoring and domestic manufacturing is also a big plus.
Let's I want to switch focus here for a moment or two, and let's go a little bit further into fashion for profit consulting and what you do. So maybe first just tell us a little bit more about your firm.
Well, basically, to go along with my book, when I do talks, obviously there are people in the audience who would like some advice from an expert. So I get hired to assist them launch their products and help them along the way with what they need to do. So it's about consulting to people starting out. I also do expert witness work, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. That means that in this industry, and that's another thing that I have a pet peeve about, is that people think that they can scan in some print and have it scanned in and change it 30% and claim it's their design. Well, if it looks the same, it is the same. And I've seen so many times where you put in a print and you put your underneath it, the original, and you can see where they've manipulated it. And you look at it 10 foot away, it looks the same. So you're going to get sued. So I always say, think about doing this and being original, not taking other people's work and thinking you can change it a little bit.
Yeah. And let's get back to your book as well. So the 11th edition, when I look at the brand overall, and this is one of the things that definitely attracted myself and just our team at Mission Matters to work with you, is when I saw your website, your brand and everything else, and now you're in the 11th edition. What can readers expect from the new launch?
Well, I've added in that a whole chapter on sustainability. Mm-hmm. And then I've been very fortunate to have the book. Different chapters have them evaluated by experts within the industry. So if it's about financing, you know, I have a financial guru who's read the chapters, given their perspective and made changes, or it could be marketing, or again, we all know with social media, I'm not, you know, I'm not too technically savvy. So all this for young people, they're much more adapt to being technically savvy, and that gives them a huge advantage as well. So I've added those two differences and, you know, some updates on different chapters as well. Mm. But it's basically, we've still got each chapter has been evaluated by a different industry expert. I'm in the middle of the process of rebuilding the website. Yeah. And what I intend to do is take each chapter and have the person who assisted their advice, have them talk. You interview them like a little bit like what you're doing, is interview the people to give their perspective on what is, in their view as an expert, what needs to be done for this, the clothing and apparel industry.
Yeah, that's great. And there, and I maybe speak on for a moment or two the importance of the business side of things. So as you mentioned, like earlier in your career, even in the collegiate setting, when you realized that maybe enough of the business part of it wasn't being taught. And to me, for a lot of creative fields, so it could be fashion, it could be art, I mean, you name it, a lot of the creative fields, a graphic design, a lot of different things, to where maybe somebody has, an entrepreneur out there has an idea, or they have a passion or have something else, but maybe they're not quite as far along on the business side. But ultimately, you know, money drives things, right? So if you can't fund something, if you can't keep the doors open to the business, then it doesn't matter, you know, what, how good the idea is, maybe it doesn't go as far as it could have. So maybe can you talk a little bit about the importance of the business side of the fashion industry and business for the entrepreneurs out there listening?
Yeah, and I think one of the things I incorporated was costing in the adosis. Having, if you can't balance your checkbook and you don't really know how to cost a garment, I don't know how you think you're going to be successful. But it's very important that you understand all the dynamics that go into a cost sheet. So that was one of the first things that really got me going about understanding that. And then, of course, where does your money come from? And so you're going to get an investor. Well, an investor won't invest in you until you've got a product that you've proved has a demand for. So, you know, you've got to have a business plan. And one thing I really encourage people to do is get some help that's free. Go to the SBA, SBDC. They've got some amazing consultants there who can help you for free with small business development and help you get your business plan going. Mm. And that will really help you move along on your journey.
Yeah, that's one of my big ones that I normally tell people is like, if you're, I don't care what the business is, what the idea is, like get some help, get some mentorship, figure out somebody else within the industry that's maybe done, you know, what you want to do. And, you know, there's other people that have been through this. You don't have to reinvent and start from scratch, like get some help, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's important for you to do your homework. Yeah. Coming up with a great idea is one thing, but maybe that great idea is already out there. So you've really got to research it. And then I always say, thinking about the name, what's the name of the company going to be? It's got to be an easy name. It's no good choosing these French words because, as you know, Americans can't speak other languages and they won't pronounce it. They won't remember it. So short and sweet, you think of all the brands that we know, they have a catchy name that is easy to understand. So, and then what, if you think of a name, make sure there's no confusion and that you can get the domain name. That no, you're going to get sued if there's a confusion in the marketplace. So that's another thing that you need to think about. So these are all the planning steps to beginning your little exciting journey that you have this idea for, that you then get your business plan together. Where's the money coming from? I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to people about when they put the business plan together, where does your money come from? Oh, I thought I'd get a loan. No. Have you got collateral? You can take, if you own a home, you can take a line of credit out against it. Oh, I don't want to risk that. But they're willing to risk other people's money and you know, take a loan out. But they have to, they'll be asked, you know, if you have collateral. So it's really important that you have an understanding of the finance. The business side is probably 90% of it, actually, Adam. I mean, if you don't have, and you know this, you've started and succeeded in running an amazing business yourself. And by the way, I want to interview you down the road.
Hey, I'm in. You know, I love working with you. How do people, speaking of working with you, so somebody's watching this, they're either, you know, a startup or they have an established brand and they're like, you know, I want to connect more with Francis. Like, how do people work with you in general?
Well, there are two ways. They could either, I always tell them if they buy the whole package, then you'll get 20 minutes free consultation and we can see where we can take you from there. And then sometimes, you know, I'll get clients who will retain me for so many hours a month or pay for an hourly consult. And usually I've got connections. And if I can't do it, I know somebody who can. You know, so as you know, it's important to find the right people. In this industry, I have to say, be careful. There's a lot of BS out there and people who can tell you that they can do things. It's amazing how many people I've seen screwed over by people who say they can do things, particularly when they're starting out and they want to have their first patterns made and the first samples made. I had one girl come to me and she'd gone somewhere else. She was a banker and she wanted to have suits made that were a little bit more feminine for women in sort of business attire. And she'd spent $58,000, Adam, and she brought in all these samples on a rolling rack and she was proud of it, you know, and it was like, I looked at her, oh my God, this is going nowhere. You know, it was made so badly. You know, you can see a good, well-made clothing. I mean, a man's jacket, like your jacket, is a great experience, you know, to look at. The sleeves have got the right head in it so that it's not sticking out like this, like a shirt, and you've got your matched, if you're striped, you're matching your stripes and your plaids. Another thing drives me mad is how many people have got plaid shirts on and they're not matching on the side seam. You know, that's just me. But these things are really important when you're starting out. So this poor girl, I remember I was looking at it and I had somebody working with me, and Andrew, he was a very experienced designer. And I said, you've got to come in and help me with this. And we looked at it and kind of carefully told her that this needed to be rethought, you know. So it was an education for her too, because she took on something. She had the idea, but she didn't have the education as to what makes a well-made garment.
And that's one of the benefits of experience, education, having done it a long time and seeing like the stories that you have through your career. This is just one of them or a couple of them. But really, whenever I work with a consultant on anything like that, to me, that's a big portion of the value right there, is if a consultant can keep me from making a costly mistake, I mean, that's worth all of the money I'm sure I paid them.
Yeah, if you've got to remake things. And another thing is like swimsuits and ladies' underwear. You know, they don't shape it around the cup of the butt, you know, things like that. And so it's another example of badly made clothing. So you've got to make sure, do your homework, get references. It's the same thing when you find a sales rep. Finding a sales rep, you know, it's like finding a husband. You've got to find somebody who understands your product, who has the connections to the right stores, And if you find the right people, they can make you. And if you find the wrong ones, they'll break you, because they're going to be charging you a percentage plus showroom participation fee. Well, your showroom participation fee can be $1,000 a month. You got to make a lot of sales to be able to pay all that, you know, plus 8% or 10% for the sales rep, or 12%, depending on what kind of product it is. So it's really, again, sometimes you meet people and you get carried away, but I always say stop, think about it, think 24 hours and do a little research and find out whether or not they are the right fit for you. Hmm.
Fantastic. Well, Frances, first off, it has been great having you back on the show. And I know you got a lot going on. I just have to ask, I mean, what's next? What's next for you, your business, your 11th edition of the new book? What's next?
Well, I have to update the teacher's guide with the book, because it's used as a textbook. So I've got to, that's my next big push, is to add that, those two chapter renews. And then I'm working on going to Magic in August again, and that's always an amazing place for networking and meeting interesting people. And the United Nations, I will be seeing them again there. We'll see what's going on. I know they're doing another push for working with sustainability with third world countries. So educating them with what needs to be done as far as sustainability. So, you know, and expert witness work, I've got two cases on at the moment, so I'm waiting to see where they go. They might get settled. You never know. But it's always a good challenge.
Fantastic. Well, Frances, if somebody's watching this or listening to this and they want to follow up and they do want to connect and learn more, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, I would say you can email me at Frances with an E. Now, I'm not the Pope. You know, how many people spell it with an I? It's unbelievable. So it's Frances with an E at fashionforprofit.com, forprofit.com. So you can contact me through there.
Perfect. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging in an episode, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really what gets them up in the morning and fired up to go out there and to make a difference in the world and in the marketplace. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Frances, really, it has been a pleasure as always. I mean, thanks again for coming back on the show, and I look forward to continuing to promote the book we did together and also your book that is now in the 11th edition. So for all the audience, we'll definitely have some links in the show notes so you can pick up a copy of both. So thank you, Frances.
Thank you, Adam, for the opportunity. Appreciate it.